This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining me on the telephone line right now is former college basketball coach, college basketball analyst, now author. His new book, Father Ted Hesburgh, He Coached Me, is available at all best bookstores, Triumph Books and the like. Digger Phelps joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How you been, Coach?
Jody Mack, can't be any better. The only thing that make me feel better, if you could send me out to South Bend, one of those New York bagels, because that water in the East River makes them the best in the world.
Yes, and the pizza, too. Same thing. It's the water that makes them as good as they are. We miss you here in New York. I said earlier on the show, I went to a game in Madison Square Garden way back in the 70s when you were coaching. I believe Charlie Yelverton was on your squad.
Charlie Yelverton. In the back row was Billy Maynard from over there in New Jersey and Jackie Burek from Canavan Catholic in Pittsburgh. Charlie Y. and then Kenny Charles from Brooklyn. And then the center was Tommy Sullivan, who was 6'5". And those four guards in the 6'5 center went 94 feet. And as you well know, that team was 10-15 the year before. I came there from the University of Pennsylvania. And we went to the full court press, started four guards, and the same team beat Dr. J up at UMass, beat Austin Carr in Notre Dame in front of 19,500 in the Garden, lost to Al McGuire and Marquette in overtime, and they were number two in the country in the Garden. That same team went 26-3 and finished in the top 10 in the country. That was New York City's team. I mean, the blue-collar guys just love them because there they are. Four guards and a 6'5 center taking on the Giants at college basketball.
And I went down to the Garden to catch you guys, and I thought Yelverton had a chance to be a pro. You had a great team and represented New York well then. I thought maybe that was the tie-in. I didn't really know Father Ted Hesburgh. I thought maybe it went back to Fordham. I thought maybe it went back to your old upstate New York roots,
Beacon.
Hudson County or somewhere
Beacon,
up there.
Beacon, New York. Newburgh Beacon there. Dutchess County Beacon. Yeah, that's where I grew up. But no, what was amazing, back in 65, I wrote Eric Parsegan a letter. I was coaching St. Gabriel's High School in Hazelton, Pennsylvania, and I told him I love Notre Dame, the essence of Notre Dame, and what he's doing in football. Someday I'd like to do in basketball. So we won a Class C state championship at St. Gabe's in Hazelton that year, and Dick Harder, who was at Ryder College for 1 year from the University of Pennsylvania, went back to Penn to be head coach when Jack McCluskey left to go to Wake Forest. And Tom Petroff, who was a baseball coach but assistant basketball coach, was like my mentor. And he told Harder, take Digger with you. So I went to Penn for 4 years. And then that Notre Dame job opened up right after that Fordham year. And they come out here, and Father Hesburgh and Father Joyce hired me. But the thing about Father Hesburgh, people don't realize, back in the late 50s, President Eisenhower asked him to cut, I guess it was six men, three from the south and three from the north, including him, that he went up to the Land of Lakes, which is a place that Notre Dame owns for a retreat with the priests. And these guys went fishing that afternoon, like in the Bible, the fishermen. And that night they came down with 12 ideas for the Civil Rights Act, which President Eisenhower asked them to do. So they took that to the White House to give to Ike, and they're telling about fishing. And Eisenhower leans over to Father Hesburgh. He says, you think I can go up there and go fishing with you someday? Absolutely. And so Ike sneaks out of the White House. I think he's going to some foreign conference, but he's up in the Land of Lakes fishing with Father Hesburgh, catches some fish, brings them back to the White House, cooks them, and eats them. But at the same time, Eisenhower gave that Civil Rights Act to President Kennedy, who was going to use it to run as a second term to get reelected. But as we know, Kennedy got assassinated, so now LBJ gets it. And in 1964, he threatens everybody in Congress, Senate, Congress, or whatever, if you don't vote for this, I'll make sure you don't get reelected, because then, you know, you're going to pass this. And that's what happened. In 1964, LBJ got the Civil Rights Act passed, and I call Father Hesburgh the godfather of the Civil Rights Act.
Very nice. Father Hesburgh was the former university president at Notre Dame. He hires you. You're out there with him. You mentioned he coached me. Well, not literally, but
well,
I'm taking
you know,
in life.
What's amazing about that, Jody, two things on that. One, when I was hired by Father Hesburgh and Father Joyce, the executive vice president, I was told, number one, you got to make sure you graduate your players. Well, I went 56 for 56 on that, including Adrian Dantley and Gary Brokaw, who, after their junior years, came back after their NBA career started and finished in summer school. I made them promise their mothers to do that. Don't break any NCAA rules. Be competitive, but we're going to have mass the day of the game, and we never pray to win, but we pray to do our best because we want our players ready to go into a game mentally, physically, and spiritually. And Father Hesburgh, in the 20 years that I coached here, sat on the bench for 7 games, including 3 wins over number one teams. And this is what's amazing. When San Francisco came in with Bill Cartwright, and that was back in 77, he wins that game. And then 78 against Marquette, he wins that one. And then 80 in double overtime, DePaul, Orlando Warwick, hit 2 free throws to beat DePaul, and they were number one. So we're walking off the court, and I got my hand on his shoulder, shaking his hand and thanking him. And I said, Father, a lot of prayers for this. And he said, yeah, Digger, I was running out of Hail Marys.
Well, if he's winning those games, well, how did you ever let him get off your bench?
I know. It's true. But, you know, one night we were at Parisi's restaurant in South Bend. That's where we used to take him as he got older to have his famous Alfredo sauce with his linguine. And I says, all right, Father, you've known the world. Give me your starting 5. He said, you still coaching, Digger? I said, yeah, I want to know who I'm going to play against. Well, number one was Pope Paul VI.
Okay.
Well, Pope Paul VI was Monsignor Mondini and the Cardinal Mondini from Milano, and he became his best friend. They used to sneak to Alfredo's restaurant, which is about 4 blocks from the Vatican, when Hesburgh would be over there for meetings, and that's where they ate the famous Alfredo sauce, which went, obviously, as we know today, one of the best sauces in the world when you're having your pasta. So Pope Paul VI invites him over, his buddy, to give him a ring to make him a cardinal. Well, he said no to that, kept the ring, though, and he took it with him when he died. It's in his office today. Number 2 was Eisenhower. Number 3 was Father Joyce. But here's what it was. I said, there's got to be one woman in life. And the Kroc family from McDonald's, he met, that's another story, but it wasn't her. It was his secretary, Helen, who for years ran his show in that office for 35 years. And I said to him, well, Father, why Helen? He said, Digger. He said, back in like 1960, I didn't have a commencement speaker for graduation with 2 weeks to go. She said, why don't you get your friend President Eisenhower? And Father Ted said, oh, he's the president. He's too busy. Have you asked President Eisenhower? No, I haven't asked President Eisenhower. Well, Helen says, why don't you ask him? And Father Ted says, why don't you ask him? She says, all right, I will, but make sure you get one of your priest friends from Rome to come over and say mass for the seniors. So she sends a letter to the White House. A week later, she's in the Father Hesburgh's office and says, President Eisenhower's coming. Did you get one of your priest friends yet to come over from Rome? Yeah, that's Helen. She ran the show.
Good
and
for Helen.
Fine, where do you hear this one? Frank Leahy. I said, you fired Leahy. Yeah, but this was before that. Well, in the late 40s, early 40s, actually, when Father John Kavanaugh was president, Father Hesburgh was teaching theology, but he was also like a part of the administration. So Father Kavanaugh says to him, I want you to become vice president of the deans because all these deans are out of control in every school we got here. And at the same time, I understand Frank Leahy's got the football players practicing when they should be in class. Take over football. So Father Ted reads the Big Ten manual. In the Big Ten manual, they only travel for all Big Ten games on the road with 35 players. Leahy's traveling with 49. So Father Ted happens to be the game priest when Notre Dame's going to go out and play against the University of Washington in Seattle. And it's a train ride for 2 days. So every morning they'd have mass on the train, but Leahy'd go to mass and never talk to Father Hesburgh because when they get on the train, Father Hesburgh asked the game priest in charge, the coach in charge of the travel, how many players? 35, Father. Good, we can go. So Leahy left 14 players behind. So now Notre Dame's losing the game at halftime. They come back and win the second half, and Leahy just rips the referees after winning this game. Well, national headlines. Crybaby, Notre Dame, comes back in the second half to beat University of Washington in Seattle. Goes all over the country. So they get back to campus. Father Hesburgh calls up Leahy and says, we got to have a meeting. Oh, Father, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I said. I'm sorry I embarrassed the school. Well, we got to have a meeting, Frank. So they're walking around the lake, and Leahy's like complaining, like, hey, I shouldn't have said it, Father. I'm sorry. Well, Frank, did you get a lot of mail? Yeah. How much did he get? He said, well, 2 buckets full. And he sent it over to his office. I said, what'd you do with it, Father? He said, I burned it. So as they're walking around the lake, Father Ted says, I had a meeting with Father Kavanaugh in L.A. He thinks he's really getting fired. And he's apologizing again. He says, Frank, let me talk. He said, I had a meeting with Father Kavanaugh. From now on, when we go out to the West Coast, you can charter a plane. No more trains. It's too long for the kids in the middle class. So that was the starting five. Pope Paul VI, Eisenhower, Father Joyce, his administrative assistant, who was his best friend and ran the place when Hesburgh was on the road, Helen, the secretary, and Leahy. That was the starting five.
Pretty damn good starting five. These stories are fabulous and priceless. What made you decide? Was there someone who twisted your arm, said, you've been telling these stories for years. Why don't you write them down? We can put a couple covers on a cover and a back page on this, and we can sell it. We can do some things with this.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? Well, two things are coming out of this. What money I do make on the book, I'm going to put a scholarship in his name for some young man or some young woman. One of the greatest accomplishments he ever made here at Notre Dame, I said, what's your number one achievement at Notre Dame? He says, making our place co-ed, where we're now 50% enrollment, with 50% of the freshman class is women, the other 50% is men. And that was his biggest goal, to get that done. So what I'm doing is taking the money from this book, put in a scholarship in his name for some young man, some young woman coming to Notre Dame who got accepted but needs some help financially. The other thing I'm doing, I was on the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee for some 22 years, going back to 84 to 2006. And on September 1st, here at Notre Dame, I worked behind the scenes. Once he died, March 4th, we buried him. And with the Postal Service and the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee, we're getting a forever stamp unveiled at noon on Friday, September 1st, the day before the Temple game, here at the basketball arena. And we got Condoleezza Rice coming in to be the speaker.
Nice.
Because she was she came here to Notre Dame to get her master's degree. Father Hesburgh recruited. But back in 88, I did the Rockne stamp here when I was on the committee, and I had President Reagan come out as a Gipper, not as a president, because of that movie with Rockne and Notre Dame, with Pat O'Brien playing Rockne and Reagan playing a Gipper, and he did that stamp ceremony. So we're going to get Father Hesburgh a forever stamp September 1st.
Very nice. Now, I could also ask you plenty of questions about college basketball, and we just had the draft and this past season and the like. I'll keep it to one. We won't keep you too long. A lot is being kicked back and forth about how long college basketball players should stay in college basketball. You started when freshmen didn't even play, and nobody was allowed to go into the NBA until they had finished four years of college. Then it became wide open. You don't have to go to college. Senior year, high school, you want to make the jump, you can. We're in the one-and-done phase now that you have to be 1 year graduated from high school, be it either playing in college and or elsewhere in other countries and the like. Certain people want to see it change, repealed and the like. Going into 2018, what should the rule be, Digger?
I think, Jody, basically it's this. Going back when, you know, like in the 70s and the 80s, when these teams were juniors and seniors, you had great players. The NBA coaches wanted us to get these guys ready. And for 4 years, we would teach them offense, but more importantly, we'd teach them how to play defense at both ends of the floor to be a complete player. So, to me, it's between the Players Association and the owners. They should go to the baseball rule, which means you're either 21 or if you go to college, you're going to stay there 3 years. Because here's the sad part of it. Even these one-and-done guys, let's go back about 4 years ago, Jody. All this information came out where 70% of the NBA, 70% of the NFL, once they finish their careers, all right, 5 years after they finish their career, 70% of NBA and NFL players are bankrupt. That's a joke. 70% of NBA and NFL players 5 years after retire bankrupt. Why? They don't have a degree. They don't know how to manage their money, and they fail when it comes to stopping playing basketball and fail playing the game of life. So I say this. Go to the baseball rule where it's 3 years or you're 21, and then you go play pro sports and put that stuff in the right perspective so that they have a life for the game of life, a life after their sport, to win in the game of life and be successful, not bankrupt.
I've been saying it for a long time. They should adopt baseball's rules. If I'm on the same page with Digger Phelps, I know I'm on the right page. You should check out all the pages of Father Ted Hesburgh. He coached me by Digger Phelps and Tim Barrett. Coach, we appreciate you coming on board. Best of luck with the book, and have a great day when you get a chance to honor Father Ted back in Notre Dame.
I appreciate that, Jody. Give my love to New York. I really miss it. I love those people at Fordham and Rose Hill and the old Madison Square Garden that was up here in old 48th Street, but obviously the new garden has a lot of history. and so does New York sports. And then to me, it's one of the great cities ever, and I'm so proud to be a part of it and growing up in the Hudson Valley.
Will do. Coach, thanks much. Appreciate it, Digger.
All right, Jody. Take care, buddy.
Digger Phelps here with us on CBS Sports Radio. New book out. Father Ted Hesburgh, the former university president at Notre Dame, hired Digger Phelps and helped Digger Phelps become the coach and the person that he became. Father Ted Hesburgh, he coached me by Digger Phelps. Get it at all your finer bookstores.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.